last night we had our Rath Yatra fundraising dinner, and actually preceding that, during the day, I had a meeting with the head of the Jewish community here in Hungary, and we had a nice discussion, interesting discussion. He wasn't a rabbi, he was actually a layman, and that's the way their organization is structured, is that the rabbinical arm deals with spiritual things, giving counsel, etc., and laymen take the general post of managing the society. Not a format that Srila Prabhupada gave, and as I was thinking yesterday, having left the meeting, it's something that really leaves itself open, well, just as any structure leaves itself open to both abuse as well as decline. I could just well imagine that in an organization, spiritual organization, where the laymen are managing, there's an easy conflict between spiritual values and the practicality that a layman, particularly a professional, would approach managing a spiritual organization, and compromising the spiritual values, and even particularly compromising the preaching spirit, which very often requires taking risks, going forward with a type of faith in the Lord that laymen would not necessarily have. Anyway, there's a lot to be said about that. I'm just touching on the subject. And in the evening, we had a very nice packed out full house of supporters for Rath Yatra, which is an annual event we run just a few days before Rath Yatra to raise funds. It's a fundraising dinner with a little program attached, bhajan, dance. I give a little talk. This time the talk that I gave was accompanied by a slideshow of how here in Hungary we're continuing the tradition that's been going on for a long time in Jagannath Puri, and not just in Hungary but all around the world by Srila Prabhupada's grace. And there were a couple of snippets, one of how Jagannath is brought out of the temple and then raised onto the Rath cart. Everyone sort of let out gasps when they saw Jagannath's size, and that there were dozens of people trying to just move him. And the other one was pictures of how the cart and this particular part of the construction related to the wheels, how they're being constructed in very age-old tradition. And the Rath cart, Nandi Ghosh, as it's called, arrived yesterday from the UK. Titikshu Prabhu has been bringing the cart here now for 15 years, 14 occasions is 1 year that we didn't have the festival. And today's weather is overcast. It rained last night, as it usually does. Clean the streets. Weather forecast, by everyone's calculation, tomorrow is going to be blisteringly hot, clear skies, and a good day for Lord Jagannath to parade through Budapest. So anyone who wants to come, you've still got a little time, hop on a plane, hop in a car, depending on where you are, and come take part. It's a wonderful festival. The parade concludes in Budapest's equivalent of Trafalgar Square, Vörösmarty tér, and we have a big stage program, lots of booths, and ecstatic devotees, and equally ecstatic guests. Rath Yatra Festival is such a wonderful event because it brings Jagannath out onto the streets. in a day and age when people are fighting amongst each other about their religion, and more or less that's been something that's fixed in the mind of the people worldwide, that religion is something that you kill each other about. Of course, generally, religious values are used as a front for political motivations, but nonetheless, that's how people see it. But Jagannath, as the name implies, is the Lord of the universe. He's everyone's God. Ultimately, there is only one God, and that one God doesn't want us to kill each other over our different colors, languages, rituals, different ways and mantras, hymns by which we approach him, but rather he wants us to unite together and chant his names. Chant Hare Krishna. If you have some other name you'd like to chant, well then chant that. But dance and sing together, because spiritual life and the worship of the Lord is a festival. It's an event to be celebrated, not an event to cause conflict among people. And this is the advertisement. This is the proclamation that Lord Jagannath is making, not simply through scriptural statements, not simply through his representatives, but actually by his own physical presence on the streets of the major cities of the world. It's a very extraordinary phenomenon. That the Lord leaves the temple. Not only he leaves the temple, because often deities leave the temple and stay in the deity in the temple compound, but he actually leaves the temple and goes out on the streets. It is a real mercy. It is a real testament to the love and care of the Lord. At least something that we should meditate upon in order to know and understand our good fortune as servants of the Lord. I'll just answer very briefly one message from a Bhakta Risha, and I don't know where it's from. And he says that he's been in the habit of occasionally singing Radha Katakshaka Stotra, which is often done by devotees in Vrindavan. When I mean devotees, I just mean devotees in general, not necessarily ISKCON devotees. Even our neighbors next door, over by our house in Vrindavan, it's their daily sadhana, or part of their daily sadhana, to do that both morning and evening. And he said that Mahaniri Maharaj had said that this was superior to chanting Radha Katakshaka Stotra than Radha Sahasranam, because it describes Srimati Radharani's bodily features, and Radha Sahasranam glorifies particular names. Anyway, his question is, he's thinking of now doing it every day, or he's heard that he should do it every day, and what is the tune? I mean, I know the tune, because I've heard it so often, although I don't chant it particularly on a daily basis. In fact, I rarely chant it. There may not be any harm in doing so, although Srila Prabhupada didn't include it as part of our daily sadhana, but rather he gave us the morning program, the evening program, as practices that devotees should do. When should someone chant Radha Katakshaka Stotra? Well, that's what Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani is all about, Bhaktivedanta, when someone is particularly qualified. When is someone qualified to meditate upon the transcendental form of Srimati Radharani? Well, at least he should certainly be free from any type of attachment to the female form, because that's what he or she will be meditating upon. And there shouldn't be any improper thoughts that come into the mind while so doing. Furthermore, there's no obligatory statement by any of our acharyas in terms of chanting these verses, particularly for beginner devotees or even intermediate devotees. Therefore, I don't think that it's something that a blanket statement of devotees should do is applicable. It's not something that everyone should do. Everyone should chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra minimum. That applies to the advanced, that applies to the beginners. And once a devotee can chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra very nicely, and the evidence of that will be is that when he says Hare, then the form of Srimati Radharani will naturally appear in his mind. When one becomes so qualified, then he may be able to meditate upon other verses that explicitly describe Srimati Radharani's transcendental form. In any case, one should always know what one's qualification is. What is compulsory for one person may be forbidden for another. So, Bhakti Rishra, you should know which category that you fall in. And whether you fall into the forbidden category, the optional category, or the compulsory category. And once you determine that, then you can figure out whether you need to learn the tune to Radha Kathakshika Stotra. Hare Krishna. Just as an addendum onto a bhakta's sadhana, including the daily chanting of Radha Kathakshakam Stotram, I could very well see Prabhupada's hair standing on end when he hears something like that, and his natural reaction would be, are you reading my books every day? Have you read my books? Are you worshipping Gaur Nitai and meditating on them? I think it would be, so the devotees would be hard-pressed to convince Srila Prabhupada that new bhaktas should be meditating on Srimati Radharani's transcendental form, or that they even have the qualification to do so. In fact, even if they did, probably for setting the right example, Srila Prabhupada would just tell them to meditate upon his books, read them carefully, study them very carefully, chant Hare Krishna without offense, and do the sadhana that he has given to us perfectly before they start getting off into other realms that aren't part of the curriculum that Srila Prabhupada outlined for all devotees in the society. Hare Krishna.